for our handbells, for our readers, for all the children, for those that are structuring and programming with them. We're so grateful for families that have come from afar to be here on this special day. We are so glad. We are thankful. We are thankful for you. Some of us have been making arrangements to go places this week, and others have been making arrangements to receive people. If you're receiving people this week, let me see your hands. People, oh, there's a bunch of you. If you're going someplace, raise your hand. Just so you know, I'm going someplace, and so there's a word about that in the bulletin. But I want to talk for a second to those of you that are receiving people. Anybody have families coming in that have sort of your adult children and their little grandkids are coming up? Is anybody in that category? Some of you are. Well, I want to share with you a story about what's really going on in those car rides as they're coming there. And this story is not mine. I heard it on the Prairie Home Companion. Garrison Keillor wrote it. But it's a fictional story, but I think it's a true story about the children, now adults, who had moved away from the little town of Lake Wobegon. And now at Thanksgiving time, they're coming home with the kids of their own to visit mom and dad, grandma and grandpa. A lot of long drives. Those of you that are, you remember taking drives, or maybe you still take them. And with little kids, that's really hard. When your kids are in the car, there is nothing sweeter on a long drive when those kids finally, when they either invented tablets and movies, that's a sweet thing, right, with earphones, or when those kids conked out at the end of a long day. But you might not know this, Grandma and Grandpa, there is a stop being made just out of town on the way up into Roxboro, probably around Walmart, just a few blocks from your house. And at that point, there's a lot of cigarettes being put out for the last time before the week. There's a lot of the first breath mints being popped in, you know, because you got to put on airs, right? There's a lot of brushing off crumbs and things like that. And there's a lot of instructions being given to those kids. Well, the instructions, you know, now don't talk in front of Grandma and Grandpa about you know what. That is a subject to avoid at all costs. There's other instructions being shared with, remember, before we eat, we're all supposed to be quiet. You're supposed to bow your head. That means hold it down like this. Close your eyes and don't peek. Don't eat at that time, and Grandpa is going to bow his head, and he's going to be praying. We call it saying the blessing, and Grandpa is going to be talking to God. And so you remember, don't say a word. Now, in one of those cars, says this Prairie Home Companion story, the Olson boys, one of the boys, is giving this talk to his children. He was explaining all the rules in the Walmart parking lot, and he was surprised to hear a little voice pop up from the back seat. And his daughter said, "Daddy, who is God?" And he says, "Lord have mercy, what am I going to do now? Only a few blocks from home, and she wants to know who God is. I will never be able to polish her up in two little blocks to be a good Methodist when we go into Grandma and Grandpa's house." But Garrison, the storyteller, says, "I don't know why he should be so surprised. Who is God? That's a legitimate question. There's theologians, Katie can attest to this, there's theologians down at Duke that ask that question and write great big books on it, and they disagree sometimes. I don't know why a kid shouldn't ask it." And the story kind of ends there and then takes a turn. I love great stories. It's funny, it's humorous, kind of, right? It's endearing. It's also profound. Daddy, who is God? And then all the questions, like, what does that reflect about that son's life and how he's raising his kids? And what does it mean to come back together as family? For some of us, there's a lot of weight riding on this week. And I'm not just talking about as a Midwesterner who's going to win the Michigan-Ohio State game. It looks like for the first time in a while, by the way, it might be a good game. But no, the reunion of so many people who are so different but connected together by family, there's something beautiful about it, maybe. There's often something difficult about it, isn't there? Overwhelming about it. The emotions. This holiday it brings, there's a lot of anticipation. We know it's coming. You can't escape it. It's like the whole country is lined up at the starting line. And with Thanksgiving Day wake up, the first real holiday in a while, it begins. You know what I'm talking about. The Christmas movies. The 24 hours a day Christmas songs on the radio. Who roasts chestnuts over an open fire anymore? Anybody? Not that I know of. So that's a part of what is coming. Well, there's other things that we know are coming. While we might be glad to see some of our cousins again, it's also hard gathering around a table, or even harder remembering that we used to gather around a bigger table. There's joy to come, to be sure, from the new ones, the little ones, or the milestone maybe in some of your homes that the Thanksgiving table setting has reached a tipping point. And so with all of the little ones, now for the first time, you have to set up a card table in the living room where the kids get to go and eat, and that one very patient aunt. But there's some other big emotions too. Sometimes dread. Last year, at this time, I wasn't sure where my daughter Grace was going to college, and Evan, my youngest, was struggling in school, and my brother's kids are perfect, and they live in Pennsylvania, and so I was dreading the questions. So, which Ivy League school is your child going to go to? I didn't want to answer that. Or maybe we might know that uncle who that one time had a little too much to drink and embarrassed himself. And embarrassed someone else and hurt some feelings. And so it's been a tough year for that uncle we know again, and we wonder which version of him might show up. We know it's coming. It's a joyous time for some. It's a dreadful, overwhelming time for another. And sometimes the hardest part is that someone we love very much won't be there this year. The seat will be empty for the first time, maybe for a good reason, because a new family has been created. We were joyful on the wedding day, but it's a bit hard. Even though we understand it up here, it's hard down here to remember that those lovebirds, that happy couple, now has to manage all the holidays and trade off, and this year Thanksgiving will be someplace else with his parents, and we'll have to wait a bit until we see them again. We know it's coming, some of us. That seat might be empty this year for a different reason, for we said goodbye perhaps just a few months ago at a funeral. The seat is empty now. We remember that we sang and prayed them into glory, surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and it was so comforting them, and the pastor said that we're not alone, that we're never alone, but that place will be empty for the first time in our lifetime. And emptiness, we know, isn't easy. It hurts, you know. So whether you're excited or whether you are dreading or somewhere in between this morning, I want you to hear that grace abounds. You really are not alone. That within this sanctuary, around you right now, are people who are feeling very much like you. It's okay. It's okay if this sermon, if these stories bring tears. It's okay if they bring laughter. It's okay if you go on a roller coaster ride in the next few days between them. You are loved, and love is far greater than we give it credit for being. God's love breaks through even the most awkward moment. God's warmth can miraculously come even on the coldest day. God's presence can sit down beside us even in our loneliest hour. The light of the divine can be recognized even during the most joyful moments. I remember Thanksgiving probably around 20 years ago. My father-in-law at the time was really enjoying the Thanksgiving reunion that was happening with his brothers. He's a dentist, but for a dentist, he had the biggest sweet tooth of anybody I have ever met. And his brothers got together, and they were laughing, and they lived in different states, and they came back together, and they said, you know what we should do? We should cook Mom's apple pie recipe. So those brothers, they set to it after everybody had gone to sleep. It was the night before Thanksgiving, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring. Oh, I'm sorry, I got off track there. But they said, hey, let's make this apple pie. And so they got to making it, and they were goofing around and probably didn't put all the ingredients in right. But they also got to telling stories with one another after they put it in the oven. And they forgot, being brothers, to set the timer. And so it cooked, and they joked, and it cooked, and they joked. And it kept cooking, and they joked. And then the fire alarm went off. It happened, really. And they were giving each other grief about it and blaming one another. And they put the fire out in the oven, and the pie was burnt to a crisp. But no one thought to call the alarm company. And so the fire department showed up. The windows were open. They were blaming each other, laughing. The house woke up. The fire department was there. And in the end, the smell of burnt apples cleared. The scoldings for their wives subsided. And now they have a beautiful, funny story to tell every year forever. I'm grateful for moments like that, for stories like this. But you know, here in church, we're not Prairie Home Companion. We're not a radio show. We're not just good stories and old jokes. We are thankful for something even greater than good stories and family traditions. For our scripture lesson reminds us this morning that we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, giving joyful thanks to the Father, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, Jesus, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who is head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, through him to reconcile and make peace to himself all things, things on earth and things in heaven. In this particular congregation, in this particular place, we've been living out this truth for almost 200 years, and I'm thankful for the witness. The congregation came back way back in the 1820s and started worshiping by a spring, I think up the road that way somewhere. And then they got together and moved to this location sometime later on donated land. And over the years, maybe some of our ancestors came together to build buildings where people could worship like we are now, surrounded by beauty and warmth, and learn about God's word and what it means to live the life of faith together, which means sometimes that you got to sing the hymn again through so that the children in your midst can bring and fill the harvest table and have the experience of being a part of bringing plenty and offering it to God. And we still come together. Some of us went to different schools. Some of us didn't go to school at all, but we still come together. Some of our parents might not have liked each other very much. Somebody's feelings might have gotten hurt once upon a time. Someone else might have had trouble asking forgiveness. But because Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, goes before us and reconciled us to himself, we can forgive one another and still come together. You know, I'm thankful that we still come together. I'm thankful for the men who have served this church in the past. Pastor Charlie Mike, some of you might remember. Pastor Sabiston, Pastor Mike Fries. And I'm thankful for the women who will one day have their pictures up in the hallway of pastors there. Someday. I'm thankful for the leadership that they will bring, just like the leadership that these men have brought in the past. So I'm thankful for the way that you've welcomed me as your pastor. I'm thankful for pastors, interns like Austin and Michael, but also for Crystal Divine and for Katie. I'm so thankful. And I'm thankful in advance for the way you will one day welcome our church's first female pastor and appreciate her gifts of leadership. And I'm thankful for the hearts that have been drawn together in this place, not because of the sentiment of the holiday, but because Christ, who has brought peace. Christ is the King, and we honor Christ's place in our lives this morning. We are thankful for Christ's love, Christ's sacrifice, which was shared. We are thankful that though we have had some darkness, though we have walked through the valley of the shadow of death, we are together in the light of Christ. The light of Christ our King. As we remember Christ our King, as we remember the empty cross, which stands over the table of plenty, We remember that in Christ's resurrection, something happened that had never happened before. That even though everyone ever had always stayed dead forever, that Christ overcame death and the grave. On a Thanksgiving, it was the same Thanksgiving that I was dreading last year up in Michigan. In my whole life of, at that time, 40 some odd years, in my whole life, every one of our Thanksgiving dinners had only been family, ever. Now, that kind of bothered me a little bit, but I'd never been able to change it at all. We'd never been able to invite friends over. It's just the way our family did it. It was just for family. I'm a pastor. My brother's a pastor. Neither of us could get it done. And so imagine our shock when that year my aunt had gotten to know somebody who was having a hard time, had just been divorced, was really struggling, and said, "Why don't you come over to our table for Thanksgiving? Why don't you share with our family? You're like family to us. Come and share at the table." This was the first time that our family had gotten together since one of those seats was empty. My grandmother had passed away just a couple of years before. It was hard for us to gather around. And I think because of Christ's resurrection, we were able to welcome in and expand our family somehow. That God's love was able to break through even though it had never done it before. And the pastors in the family had nothing to do with it. It was my aunt that made the love of Christ shine. May Christ be our King. I'm thankful for you, for God's love shining through you. And I think it bears saying again, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, won't you turn to a neighbor near you somewhere and tell them just how thankful you are for them sitting there. Won't you do that as this sermon draws to a close? Joseph, I'm thankful for you. For sure. Jamie, I'm thankful for you.
Just want you to know I'm thankful for
you. As we come to our time of prayer, there you are. Let's look at you. Thankful for Katie, too, that she is here to lead us in our time of prayer as we give thanks for what God has given us and we remember those who are joyful and those who are struggling and we commit to be here for one another. Amen.
Today we start off by offering up prayers for Ava Arcuni and continued prayers for Peggy Jones, as well as Betsy Warren, Jim Kirst, Lacey Winstead, Rob Fitzgerald, Gary Bittner, Susie Ainsworth Andrews. And then we also have a few joys to share. Stacy Paith has finished radiation treatment, so prayers for healing, continued strength, and relief as she gets to enjoy the holiday. We also would like to offer up prayers of thanksgiving for Ann Lewis, who's also finishing up her chemo treatments. So she gets to hopefully be with the family and experience a really great holiday. So we give thanks of praise to God for their continued healing and strength. We also found out this last week that Jackie Blanks got to go home this past Friday, I believe. She had been in the hospital for the past few weeks, and so I knew visiting her last week, she was ready to go home. She was eager, and she wanted some orange juice. So we're grateful that she got to go home, and she got to have her family with her as she was in the hospital, so continued prayers for them as they figure out a new adjustment for her as she gets acquainted with her home again. And we also offer up prayers for Roland Crawley, continued prayers. An update for him is he has moved in with his daughter in Greensboro and is going to be continuing down a path of a very long journey. And so we want to offer up prayers for comfort, strength, but also a blessing to be with family and to have the support of family with him and within this church. Are there any other prayers this morning that we can offer up? Will you pray with me, please? Lord, thank you for each moment, for the blue sky moment, the softening earth, the freshening wind, for the sap flowing, the bird nesting, the yellow bush, for my heart, for my full heart, and the joy rising in us. Soften us to receive whatever comes as a gift and to praise you in it. Lord, thank you for each moment, for the twilight moment, the pause, the good tired, for the quiet reflection, the slowing down and the mysterious sunset, for our contented hearts, and the wisdom growing inside us. Gentle us to feel whatever comes as a gift and to praise you in it. Lord, thank you for each moment, for the midnight moment, the loneliness, the fretful wondering, for our watchful stars, and the long ache and the sleepless wait, for our restless heart and the hope straining in us. Focus us to see whatever comes as a gift and to praise you in it. We ask you, O God, to watch us over and to help us to be that source of strength and continued family for those in our community. And we offer up a prayer of silence for those who will not be at our table in person this year, but will be there with us in spirit. And now, Lord, we wrap all of our prayers and we combine them into one, praying as you taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Will you please join me in offering up our tithes and offerings so that others may receive?